If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11 this evening, Mark chapter 11, I want to begin a new series on Wednesday nights in the next month concerning prayer. I like to do this every few months to go back to the theme of prayer because this is a prayer meeting, and prayer is an essential element of the Christian life, our communication with the Father, through the Son, with the Holy Spirit. All three are involved in prayer. The Bible says that the Spirit groaneth with utterings that cannot be understood or heard. He knows what we need to say, and He's able to share that with the Father. The Holy Spirit is our mediator. Jesus Christ is our mediator. And so all three are involved in prayer. And Jesus really had the most to say about prayer in the New Testament Gospels. Mark is one of those unique books of the Gospels. It's the shortest, first of all. He loved to use terms like immediately and straightway. He was a fast-moving individual. He probably had ADHD, I don't know. He was just go, 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 go all the time. And he brings out some of the most important thoughts of our Savior on prayer. And we're going to focus on that in Wednesday nights to come. And I'd like for us to look at chapter 11. Chapter 11 is during the Passion Week of Jesus Christ. It takes place, there are 4 days that are recorded, beginning on in chapter 10, and we're on the Tuesday. Sunday and Monday have already passed. On Monday of that week, we are told that he cursed a fig tree. He went to go get some fruit, and there was no fruit. And he said, "Cursed be thou." And the next day, chapter 11 records, they came up, and the fig tree was dried up from the roots, we're told. In other words, the roots were completely dry, and the whole tree was gone. And Peter was shocked by that, and the Lord really did not go into any details about what had happened. It was simply to be a symbol of something that they saw from the words that Jesus spoke to impact them. Let's pick up in verse 20. "And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto him, Have faith in God." What a response. Have faith in God. In other words, I spoke the word yesterday. The tree is now dried up from the roots. Have faith in God. Those are the kind of visuals that you and I need. We're all very much visual people. The whole Charlie Kirk thing, I think a big part of it is the visual aspect of what took place. One senator was quoted as saying yesterday that this event is our John F. Kennedy event for this generation. The 60s. I mean, right after that, for a year or so, I was born just a few months after the assassination of JFK. And the trauma, the video that was taken of people weeping and crying all across the nation, it was very much a stunning event. The visual aspect of it was stunning. What has happened with Charlie Kirk? Same thing. Much more predominant, no, because everybody has something to see it on. JFK was just what they put out on television, and then later on, years later, the Zapruder film was made available where people could see what actually took place, and other films were released at that time. But in our instant generation, we've had a visual. Jesus used the visual to communicate something about himself. And that is, my words have power. Our words have limited power. We can hurt others with our words. Is it permanent damage? No, not necessarily. It's what you allow it to become. You can allow somebody's words to have permanent damage. Or you can have grace and just say, I'm not going to let that destroy me. Not going to let that do that. You can help people with your words, but be careful with that. You remember the words that were spoken be ye warmed and filled. Those words were not very powerful because there was no action on the part of the talker. The words just fell flat to the floor. Now, Jesus Christ uses this, what Peter, this playback on this tree, this fig tree that's dried up from the roots. And Jesus says to Peter, whenever he asks him about that, have faith in God. And then what does he direct his attention to immediately? Notice this, please. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Every time I read this verse, and through the years, I've just been struck by what Jesus says to Peter. How many of you have witnessed a mountain move out of its spot and be cast into a sea? No. We witness mountains be moved, volcanic explosions. We've witnessed in the Pacific since World War II, there have been several islands that have disappeared because of volcanic activity. They've actually erupted and then sunk back into the ocean after being an archipelago for some time. All right? And then they're gone. Hundreds of islands that were on the maps of World War II in the Pacific theater are gone now because they've exploded and they've moved back into the sea. But the Lord was talking about a certain mountain that they had just traversed together on this trip into Jerusalem on Tuesday. What mountain had they just traversed? Well, Bethany is on the Mount of Olives. It's just on the other side of Jerusalem. It's on the mountain. They would have had to traverse over the mountain to go over to the next hill where Jerusalem was located. So he's looking back at the Mount of Olives, and he says that he that says, be thou removed, shall say unto that mountain, be thou removed, and shalt be cast in the sea, and thou shalt not doubt in your heart. What would be the result? It would happen. Now, what is the Lord reminding Peter of at this point? Peter has some doubts. What's going to happen with Peter this week? You got to take this in the context of what's about to happen in Peter's life. What's going to happen? He has massive doubts. And what does he do when he gets confronted? On three separate occasions, he denies even knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a man that's full of faith? No, he was scared to death, just like we would have been. Scared to death. I'll be a one going to the cross. I don't know who he is. You see, the Lord was working in Peter with this statement here, but we're able to participate in this because we're all Peters. Let's never forget that. We're all just like Peter. We're humans. We have our doubts. We doubt certain things. I think of an illustration. Went to Chris and I said, have we heard anything from Mediacom? We were both doubting whether they were going to come through. We've already gotten a letter from them saying that the contract that we initially did with you, we're not going to be able to carry that out. It's going to be too expensive. Remember that? All right. And so it's been back and forth. Is this going to happen or not? So we went ahead and did all the work on campus. We had all the work done over the summer months, got all the fiber optics laid. Every building is now connected. And we have a signal coming in on a single wire on this building and going through the entire campus on fiber optics. But guess what? It's not big enough. And so we're having weakness problems in certain parts on the campus. Now, what do we need? We need power. We need fiber optic power to boost that signal up and get it where it's supposed to be so our buildings are at full strength. But I have to tell you, we had major doubts about Mediacom. Major doubts about Mediacom. And for us to have a conversation, and after lunch, they show up. and start working. It was just like, whoa, what a moment. You know what I thought about? This passage right here that I had read just a few weeks ago. Here's Peter walking along with the Lord. The Lord reaches up to get some fruit out of a tree and pulls the branches and leaves apart, and there's no fruit there. Cursed be thou. Now he's got a purpose. Jesus always had a purpose. They come back the next day. Probably every one of the disciples had forgotten all about it except for one. Peter. He immediately notices the next day, he goes up, there's something strange along the road today. Instead of a green, luscious-looking fig tree, it's all dried up from the roots. That meant all the leaves were gone. There was nothing that would hold a leaf. It was all gone. It's barren now. It's like wintertime. And it's bare now. And Peter said, what about this? What about this? And Jesus says, have faith in God. My word is power. My word is power. Now, what is his word in relationship to Peter now about? He's going to be talking about making requests of God. What do we call it? What's our word? It's called prayer, intercession, supplication. Go down all the list of things. It's called prayer. Now, how is our prayer going to be characterized? Is it going to be weak, anemic prayer? Jesus had already said on one occasion, if you have faith of the grain of mustard, you can move, everybody say it, mountains. What does he do here? He says basically the same thing. Why would Jesus go to such emphasis with his disciples about the matter of asking things of God? Because our primary problem is weakness of faith. We just don't, there's just so many questions in our minds, you know. Oh yeah, God's powerful enough, but we really just don't believe that he's going to do it. That's the point. Now, you know, there's no mountains in Florida, so we can't pray for a mountain to be moved. Yes?
I was just thinking maybe Mount St. Helens was the result of somebody praying.
I don't know. He probably died when the mountain blew off in the process. There were a lot of people that were killed. But you think about the aspect of a picture, word picture here. And then he says in verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you will receive them, and you shall have them. That's the point. The point is not we ought to be praying for mountains to be thrown into the sea. That's not the point. He was making this overstatement because Peter had a serious faith issue. Now, he was a believer. He had trusted in Jesus. But when it came to this matter of, is God's word powerful? He was struggling with that. He was struggling with that. And it would come out again this week of Jesus' life and Peter's life, when on three occasions he would deny the Lord. I don't know who he is. And then he would curse. Now that, folks, is just human. That's humanity. I want us to carefully think about what it means to have absence of doubt. Is that possible? Absence of doubt. Do you know we live with doubt every day? It's just part of the norm about living in our lives. We live with doubt every day. Something's like the Eeyore mentality. Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. How many of you know who I'm talking about? All right, thank you. Eeyore, well, I know when I get up tomorrow, something bad's gonna happen. I just know it. I can feel it in my bones. We almost have that thing. Absence of doubt should be filled with presence of Christ. Are you following me here? Absence of doubt, the presence of Christ. Who is our mediator? Who is the one that is the go-between between the Father and myself? It's the Son. And the Holy Spirit is there because He supports the Son. He is honoring the Son, and He utters things when we can't utter them. He utters them for us. What has the Holy Spirit uttered for us today? Have you ever thought about that? There are some things that we pray and say, I've said this a million times, I'm sure. Lord, I just don't know how to pray for this individual. I know what outcome needs to come. I just don't know how to pray. And then the Holy Spirit just goes before God the Father and utters things that I can't utter because the Holy Spirit knows what's needed. Now that, folks, is learning to trust. It's not just on me. It's dependence upon the Holy Spirit. It is seeking Jesus Christ in my prayer life, filling the void that doubt creates. Doubt always creates a void. It creates a problem. I don't think God's going to be able to handle this one. It's just too big. You know, when we were first starting to think about renovating that building over there, we were thinking about building a building back behind this one. And Mr. Whitney got a bunch of prices together. And we were just like, what? You know, $2 million, $2.5 million for a building with 8 classrooms. Now, then the engineer, lady engineer that we had hired, said, what about that building down there? You know, the one we've been praying for all these years? Lord, what do you want for this building down here? Lord, I don't believe that you raised up this building just to hold junk, which it did for 20 years. And now when I walk around there, I walk around sometimes in the evening times and those beautiful lights around that building, the building all lit up, and know that there are precious souls being taught and trained every day inside there. And to know that some of our new teachers, this is a new experience for them, they're in a new place. They don't know a whole lot of the history. I had one of them come up, we shared a little bit of the history of that building, said, I didn't know that this building was that old. Yeah, it is. It goes all the way back to 1970, 69-70. But God moved a lady engineer to plant the seed. Why don't you do that building? And then we hear the words, 1.5 million. And our board prayed, Lord, this seems like the way we should go. Would you provide the funds? And you know what he did? He provided the funds. I have to say, I had doubts. And I would imagine if all of us were honest, we had doubts. But you know what the Lord did? He brought in over $800,000 from the COVID time that was returned back to us after we had applied. And that money was brought back to us and went right straight to that building. Just amazing what God did and provided. We're looking at other things. We want to pave this campus. Many of us are tired of driving on dirty, dusty roads. We're not living in the 1800s. But it looks like it. When you drive around here, we haven't had rain in several weeks, and it looks like another Peanuts character. What's his name? Pigpen. It's just boiling up. Last night, I was walking up here to close up the bathhouse building, and all you could see on the campus was just this big dust when all the kids had been playing soccer, and it's just rolling everywhere. Wouldn't it be nice to drive on a paved road? But you know what? That's going to cost money. And the next question is, God, would you supply the money for that? But there's other things. There's other things. How about spiritual needs of people? people that we're concerned about. This family that called Mrs. Pepper, and I asked her, I said, would you please get me their names? I'd like to pray for them. I'd love to see them in church. I'd love to see them saved if they're not saved. There's obviously an interest now because of what's happened in our country. And there's others in Milton, too, that need a good Bible-preaching church. And we need to be sensitive and thinking and praying, Lord, bring them to us so we can share Jesus Christ with them. But we need not to doubt. Need not, well, they probably won't come. And they probably won't stay. Yep. Eeyore Christianity. You didn't know there was such a thing. Yeah. I'm just burdened personally for myself, and I'm sharing with you that if Peter doubted and Jesus had to do a visual for him, how must we do? I think we doubt too. And so it's not about, well, I'm going to go home and I'm going to pray for Stone Mountain to be cast into the Atlantic Ocean. You missed the point. You missed the point. We're not doing the fleece. Remember Gideon's fleece? We're not going to do it. We're going to do, oh, you know what? We've been praying for 3 months and Stone Mountain hasn't been cast into the Atlantic. God's not there. He's not powerful. Now, you missed the point. When you pray, when you go before God, go with the spirit and attitude that He is able and that He would answer. The problem is, we have doubts. So we're going to talk about some other hindrances. Number one is doubt. The second one is praying when you're not forgiving somebody. This is a big one. He's going to bring this up. Praying when you're harboring ill will towards somebody that did you wrong. Praying when you refuse to forgive somebody that something happened some time ago and you're trying to pray to God to ask Him to do something and you got a heart filled with hate towards somebody. He's not going to hear you. Not going to listen. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to go to them, make it right. Make it right. Well, I'm not doing that. Well, think about that for just a moment, what you're saying. The Lord Jesus Christ here is going to make some very, very important points in His Passion Week. Before He goes to the cross, He's going to emphasize some things with His disciples because when He goes, after the resurrection, 40 days. And then He's gone. He wanted to leave them with truth that would encourage them and help them when He was gone. He's really still there, but they don't see Him anymore. And the Lord Jesus talks about that in John 17 too, about people who do not have Jesus present before us, who have faith that He will take care of them. We'll look at that in a later date. Father, I thank You so much for Your Word. And thank You for Mark chapter 11. What an encouragement it has been to me, my own personal life, studying this passage. And I pray that it would awaken all of us to realize that so many times we come before You with a boatload of doubt. And we just need to understand that You're gracious, You're good, You're all-powerful. Why would we doubt? It's because we filter in all these other elements of life in this world. When we see things like a Charlie Kirk assassinated, or we see terrible events take place on this earth, and we think, well, you know, obviously, God's not going to be able to answer all of our requests. We need to go with a heart full of faith. Have faith in God. I pray that You would stir us up in that regard, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.